Turn your Bible tonight, please, to the book of Genesis. Genesis chapter 4. Genesis chapter 4. Let me welcome you to the prayer meeting tonight in Martyrs Memorial. Let me welcome those that are watching on by means of internet. We welcome you in the Savior's name, and we trust the Lord will bless us. Let me thank again your pastor, the Reverend Brown, for asking me to do these meetings. It's a great privilege, a great honor to be here in the church where he pastors, and we trust that the Lord will bless him and his wife at this time and bless us together also as we meet here around the things of God and his Christ. So Genesis chapter 4, reading together please from verse number 16. Genesis 4, verse number 16. Let us hear the word of God. And Cain went out from the presence of the Lord and dwelt in the land of Nod on the east of Eden. And Cain knew his wife, and she conceived and bare Enoch. And he builded a city and called the name of the city after the name of his son Enoch. And unto Enoch was born Irad, and Irad begat Mahujael, and Mahujael begat Methusael, and Methusael begat Lamech. And Lamech took unto him two wives. The name of the one was Adah, and the name of the other Zillah. And Adah bare Jabel. He was the father of such as dwell in tents, and of such as have cattle. And his brother's name was Jubal. He was the father of all such as handle the harp and organ. And Zilhah, she bare Jubal Cain, an instructor of every artificer in brass and iron. And the sister of Jubal Cain was Naamah. And Lamech said unto his wives, Adah and Zillah, hear my voice, ye wives of Lamech. Hearken unto my speech, for I have slain a man to my wounding, and a young man to my hurt. If Cain shall be avenged seventyfold, truly Lamech 70 and 7-fold. And Adam knew his wife again, and she bare a son, and called his name Seth. For God said, she hath appointed me another seed instead of Abel, whom Cain slew. And to Seth, to him also there was born a son, and he called his name Enos. Then began men to call upon the name of the Lord. Amen. We'll end our reading there. And we know that God will bless the reading of his word to every heart. Let's have one moment's further prayer, please. Father in heaven, I confess before heaven and this gathered congregation my complete inadequacy and unworthiness to deal with what is now before me. Empty me now of self and sin. Forgive my sins, for they're many. Wash this vessel in the blood of Christ, and fill me now with the Holy Ghost and power. Grant that divine anointing, that holy baptism, the anointing to preach, the anointing to hear with prophet. Hear prayer now, we ask. Hear prayer in heaven, your dwelling place. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. There are some notable times in the Word of God when men called upon the name of the Lord. Abraham called upon him throughout his life, and he was known as a man who communed with God. Enoch also lived a life of communion with God. Genesis 5:24 tells us, and Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Enoch was, as it were, a man who talked with God, and God took him on home. David, the psalmist, spake about communing with God upon his bed. Jonah called upon the Lord from the fish's belly. Daniel talked with the Lord in the den of lions. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego walked in communion with the Lord in the furnace of fire. Peter, that day in Galilee, when he began to sink, when he got his eyes onto those fearful waves, he cried upon the Lord, called unto the Lord to save him. And of course, in that moment, the Lord stretched out his hand and caught him. Paul, the great apostle, on that occasion when he was shipwrecked in Acts 27, he communed with the Lord. For he tells us in his narrative about it, for there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve. John, the beloved, also, of course, communed with the Lord upon the Isle of Patmos. However, before us tonight in Genesis chapter 4, we have calling upon the Lord mentioned for the first time in the Scriptures. At the end of verse 26, it says, "Then began men to call upon the name of the Lord." Now, Matthew Henry said, "The worshipers of God now began not only to worship God in their closets, but in public assemblies." It was a new beginning for them. They began with new zeal to seek the Lord afresh. And when you read verse number 26 there, "And to Seth, to him also there was born a son, and he called his name Enos." There's the setting. "Then began men to call upon the name of the Lord." The word Enos, we'll look at this a wee bit later, but it means mortal, frail, weak. "And of light of this, then began men to call upon the name of the Lord." But I believe in this portion that we see something which is most relevant to us tonight as we gather in Belfast to have a Bible study and prayer meeting, because I believe we see here the first public prayer meeting in Scripture. As I say, this is the first time in the Word of God that we find words, men calling upon the name of the Lord in the public assembly. It's as if it's the first public prayer meeting in the Scriptures. And that's what I want to speak on tonight for the time that remains, the first prayer meeting in Scripture. The first prayer meeting in Scripture. The first thing I want to show you is the revelations surrounding this prayer meeting. What was it caused them to gather to pray? Well, the first thing I want to show you is the devil had displayed his power and deceit. Genesis 3, verse 1 begins with these words, "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field." We're in Genesis 4 here. Sin has entered the world. We have the fall of man in Genesis 3. We have had the murder of the godly Abel in Genesis 4. We have the killing by Lamech in Genesis 4. We have adultery in Genesis 4. And verse 26 makes it clear that when a grandson, Enos, was born to Adam, then began men to call upon the name of the Lord. Read verse 25 and 26, just so we're clear. "And Adam knew his wife again, and she bare a son, and called his name Seth. For God," said she, "have appointed me another seed instead of Abel, whom Cain slew. And to Seth, to him also there was born a son, and he called his name Enos. Then began men to call upon the name of the Lord." Adam's son Seth, the son God gave to replace Abel, "and to Seth a son Enos." And then we have the words, "Then began men to call upon the name of the Lord." And therefore, one of the realizations, one of the revelations that causes them to gather to pray is, in light of the awful tragedy of the world of that day, sin having entered, the world fallen, and it says, then began men to call upon the name of the Lord. Let me give you another revelation that probably brought this prayer meeting about. A child was born into a world that was fallen. Look again at verse 26. "And to Seth, to him also there was born a son, and he called his name Enos." Enos is born into a fallen world. And you know, folks, if we had no other reason to gather to pray, the fact that our little ones are born into such a world is reason enough. The children that God has given us, born into a world where the devil's displaying his power and his deceit, his schemes and devices all around us. Our streets, like these streets, full of sin and wickedness. And when Enos is born, then began men to call upon the name of the Lord. The first prayer meeting recorded in Scripture was with the realization that a child was born into a fallen world. When you think about that in our world today in 2020, children are, and rightly so, always the focus at some part of a prayer meeting. Sunday school work, children's work. And our children are born into this world, and they'll die one day in this world. And between those two great pillars, we all understand of life given and life taken away, grace must reach them. Grace must reach them. And we read here, it's very striking, verse 26, "And he called his name Enos. Then began men to call upon the name of the Lord." There's these revelations surrounding this prayer meeting. The devil has displayed his power. The fall has come. Children are born into such a world. There's a third revelation. Man is mortal. Names of people in the Old Testament scriptures were means of revelation. Their meanings were so important to be noticed. And the name Enos, it means frail, mortal, weak. In other words, man is not going to live forever. The fall has come, death has entered the world. And there's this revelation, this realization, Enos. They give this child the name Enos. It means mortal. Understand, dear people, man was not made mortal. Adam plunged himself and us into mortality. And here in this word that this little baby's given, Enos, which means mortal, frail, weak, there's the great reminder, we won't live forever. There's a great reminder, we're traveling down the corridors of time together. Enos, then began men to call upon the name of the Lord. Many times I walk around graveyards. I do it because it reminds me as a Christian and a preacher that I need to reach my friends, country people, before they reach that cemetery. And it gathers us to pray with that realization that we are but fellow travelers down the corridors of time. You think about going into cemeteries in our country. And I say to you, it's heart-wrenching. And you stop at some headstone. And you read things like this, Saint Martin, pray for him. I prayed for you at Lourdes. Saint Benedict, pray for her soul. I say to you, those words were put there by dear people in love. They were put there probably with tears. But understand, dear people, the only saints that can pray for anybody are the saints on earth, the saints redeemed by blood, the saints purchased by blood, those that are alive in the church of Christ, and the only ones they can pray for are those that are still alive. And therefore, as we gather tonight, we are the saints that pray. We are the saints that pray for our fellow country people. Because we're all mortal, we're all frail, we're all weak, we're all heading to eternity, we're all traveling down the corridors of time, one by one. Time, like an ever-rolling stream, bears all its sons away. There's these revelations or realizations that caused them to gather to pray. The devil displayed his power, a child born in a fallen world. Man is mortal. Let me show you another reason they gathered. That wicked deeds were polluting the land. They had just seen in this chapter the wicked deed of murder. But they just realized it was the outworking of the heart of a fallen race. Cain has slain Abel. Lamech has committed his murders. But dear people, our people and nations' sin is a reason to gather for public gatherings to pray. Then began men to call upon the name of the Lord. In a world where Satan had worked, in a world that was fallen in which children were born, a world where men don't live forever, a world where sin was marching on. And now the fifth little thought in this first point is this. Sin was working in godly families. Sin was working in godly families. We believe that Adam and Eve were both saved when Cain slew Abel. And therefore, there is that great reminder that there is no family exempt from the attacks of the devil. There is no family exempt from sin. You think of that man of God in the Old Testament, Hezekiah, and he saw a revival, and he saw a moving of God, and yet his son Manasseh was into witchcraft, idolatry, all the sins of the day, and yet, thank God, eventually saved. But we're seeing there's no family exempt from it. And all these realizations make the church and the believer realize we need to be calling upon God. We need to be seeking God. Then, after calling the boy Enos, then began men to call upon the name of the Lord. The revelation surrounding it. Very quickly, the recipient of this first prayer meeting. Look again at verse 26. Then began men to call upon the name of the Lord. The recipient of their call, of course, was the Lord. Then began men to call upon the name of the Lord. It's also the first time in scriptures we have the word began. It's a beginning, this public assembly. The word call, it's the Hebrew word kara. It's a word which appears throughout the book. We could go to many scriptures. Genesis 12, verse 8, Abram built an altar unto the Lord and called upon the name of the Lord. I'll just give you the text. We don't have time to turn. Psalm 50, verse 15, and call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver thee. Psalm 145, verse 18, the Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon him, to all that call upon him in truth. And dear people, let's just get it all clear here. That is the very reason that we gather tonight, to continue this century, millennial, old custom of a prayer meeting. Here's how long it's gone on. 6,000 years or thereabouts, men have been gathering, the church has been gathering to call upon the name of the Lord. And that is a great privilege for each of us tonight as we gather here. Different backgrounds, different homes, different situations undoubtedly engulfing us all. And yet we're here as one body under Christ, to lift our hearts to heaven, to call upon the name of the Lord. The name for Lord there in verse 26 is the name Jehovah. I am what I am. God's unchangeableness, but especially his unchangeableness in relation to his people. Jehovah, as you know, is the great covenant name of God. The God who keepeth covenant, the God who promises his people, and the Almighty God finds these people before him. Then began men to call upon the name of the Lord. The recipient of their call, their prayer, they were calling upon the Lord for divine intervention. The reason they called, thirdly, in Genesis 4, they knew a deliverer had been promised. Now remember who Enos was. Enos was the grandson of Adam. And Adam had heard that great promise in Genesis 3:15. I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. These people, they looked forward by the eye of faith to a coming Redeemer. And when Christ made this great statement, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, as he preached the first message about the cross in the ear of our first parents, and he did it there in the devil before him, and he makes that great declaration, and when Christ said it, he set up a church, men and women, which continues to this day. And from that moment, Christ has been thwarting and destroying the works of darkness and Satan from that moment until now. That's the basis they pray on. They pray upon the basis of the Redeemer promised. Remember when Abel offered, he offered sacrifice. He sacrificed a lamb. He understood the approach to God was by blood and by blood alone. And we come tonight in the year 2020 and we pray on the basis of Christ who has been sacrificed. And we pray on the merits of his blood that the works of darkness might be destroyed. And dear people, that's what the church prayer meeting's about. Lord, come and visit this church. Come and visit this congregation. Yes, even in a world that's fallen. Even in a world where wickedness is in our streets, even a world where our children are born into such sin and depravity, in a world where man is mortal, they called then and we call tonight. Then began men to call upon the name of the Lord. You see, we pray tonight, and I'm nearly finished. We pray knowing Christ will build his church. We know something else. We pray knowing Christ is more concerned about his church than we are. We pray knowing something else. Christ was manifest to destroy the works of the devil. We pray because Christ works in families. We pray because Christ works through his church. We pray because Christ uses the church prayer meeting to move. It was Matthew Henry that said, when God is going to move, he sets the church to pray. When God is going to move, he sets the church to pray. We pray because we believe something else. Sunday services are affected by this meeting. Sunday services are affected by this meeting. We pray because when God begins to work, nobody can stop. They knew it in Genesis 4. We know it tonight. Then began man. And all the chaos and ruin of the early days of our world in Genesis 4. There was this realization that God would work and none could stop him. Let me encourage us as we come to pray tonight. It was Charles Spurgeon that said this. Because God is a living God, he can hear you, brother. Because he's a loving God, sister, he will hear you. But because he's a God in covenant, he has bound himself to hear us tonight, to hear his church, to hear the prayers of his son, to hear those that pray through his son. And we come tonight to call upon the name of the Lord. The revelation surrounding the prayer meeting, the recipient of the prayer, God himself. The reason they prayed that Christ would work. Finally, the remnant who prayed. Verse 26, then began men to call upon the name of the Lord. You say, preacher, what do you mean the remnant? Well, you understand that Moses wrote the book of Genesis. And Moses would have penned his way through the creation. And into chapter 2 and saw the covenant, and God said to Adam, do this, live forever. Don't do it, you'll die. Genesis 3, the fall happens. And then Moses coming into Genesis 4, and under inspiration, he comes to these words. Now, we understand, of course, Moses was not alive through those days, obviously. But in leading Moses to write this down, the Lord was showing Moses that in a fallen world, where the devil was busy, where murder and wickedness was on the streets, where man wouldn't live forever, where children are born into such a land, God was showing Moses right at the beginning, I had a people to call upon me. I had a remnant, Moses, in the midst of the ruin. I had a people that gathered together to call upon the name of the Lord. Now I'm closing. Our land, our country, our nation is part of a fallen world. We know our own sin. We know the sins of our countries. Our loved ones, our children are born into it. None of them live forever. That we as the remnant, and God will always have a remnant, have something to pray over tonight. That Christ will build his church. That Christ is more concerned about his church than we are. That Christ was manifest in the incarnation to destroy the works of the devil. That Christ works in families. That Christ works through his church. That Christ uses the church prayer meeting. That Christ affects Sunday meetings by the church prayer meeting. And we pray because when Christ works, none can stop him. We sang about the Holy Ghost tonight. We could do nothing better tonight than say, Lord, send the Holy Ghost. Remember reading about an old Irish preacher. Little book I was reading the other week. Written a couple of hundred years ago. And he used to pray this. Oh God, for Christ's sake, give me the Holy Ghost. The mighty King of Kings. When the Holy Ghost comes, dear people, he's God. None can stand before him. The wind blows where it listeth. Oh God, send the Holy Ghost to our fallen world. Send it to Belfast. Send him to Belfast, rather. Send him to the UK. Send him to this preacher. Send him to this church. Send them to this denomination. Oh God, come. Then began men to call upon the name of the Lord. Genesis 4, the remnant rose to the challenge. They began to call. There's been a remnant to call ever since. You know what? 2020. The onus is on the remnant again to call, to seek God until he come and rain righteousness upon us. May God grant us and may God write his word in every heart. Lord, take your word. What's been of thee, apply it. But, O God, for Christ's sake, send the Holy Ghost. Let him come, O Lord, we pray thee. Let the shower of blessing fall. We are waiting, we are waiting. Come revive the hearts of all. For Jesus' sake. Amen.